following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good evening, church. How are you doing? Feels weird that I'm going to be up here for longer than, four or five announcements, so just bear with me, but it's good to be back inside. It's been an amazing summer, and I'm really glad to be inside because it's so hot outside, like really hot. It's so hot that people in Texas are calling me and making fun of me for moving back to California. That's how hot it is. So apparently we've made the news in Texas that it's like, well, in California, it's really hot. But anyways, like Chase said, Pastor Bill's birthday is today. He's the one that usually leads us on Wednesday nights, but he is not here, so it's just us tonight. So how about we pray and we invite the Lord to come in and speak to us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people and for your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, for how much you love us and how you have a special word for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would speak loud and clear. And I pray, Lord, that it would just take root in our hearts. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a message for you guys. I've been preparing for it for a couple of weeks. And up until about 2 o'clock today, it was like, no, there's something else. We're going to talk about the thorn in the flesh. If you guys have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That phrase, the thorn in your flesh. I love the way the Apostle Paul spoke. I love the way he used these beautiful phrases, this imagery, to really paint this picture of this pain that he had, right? A thorn is not very big, yet it creates this really big pain. You hear the phrase thorn in the flesh, what comes to your mind? What ails you? What hurts you? What is that source of pain in your life? There's this book, I think it was when I was a kid, or maybe it might have been a story that my mom used to tell me, or maybe it was just an Egyptian wives' tale that I heard or picked up. I don't know, but there is this story about a lion and a mouse. And in this story, you got this lion who's in a lot of pain. And he's in a lot of pain. Do you guys know why? You guys are all Egyptian. This is great. Awesome. Yeah, he's got this thorn in his paw. And in the story, he's really angry. Really angry. And he can't sit still. And he's just kind of thrashing around. And the more he moves, the more pain he's in. And with each move, really, just the pain increases and increases on top until one day this little mouse comes over and he wants to help the lion. And he goes up to the lion, but in order for the lion to actually receive the help, the lion has to sit still. And he just wasn't able to at first. But when he was able to sit still, he was able to find relief. And that story always stuck with me. A lot of times I feel like I am like that lion. There's this thorn in my flesh, whatever the season calls for. It's annoying. It's piercing. It's poking us. It's making us really uncomfortable, and it's causing a lot more pain than it needs to. Maybe it's something physical, like back pain or foot pain, or maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a difficult person, a family member, a coworker. Maybe it's the fact that you just feel lonely and you want to be with someone, or you want to be married and have a family. But whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. That there's this thing in your life that's causing you to be a little crazy, right? It's causing all kinds of trouble. It's making life painful and difficult. And the thought is, if I could remove it, my life will be better, right? This is what's wrong with my life. If only this thing would go away, I'll be pain-free. I'll be happier. I'll be closer to the Lord. But yet that pain is always there. And now maybe you're like that lion in the story. You find yourself thrashing around. You roar with anger. You think things like, this isn't fair. This is not right. And if that's you, I want to tell you, you are in good company. Because the Apostle Paul was experiencing that same thing. That there was something in Paul's life that was nagging him. Something painful, something that was driving him crazy. And how Paul deals with this thorn is exactly how you and I should deal with the thorns in our flesh. So let's jump right into it. 2 Corinthians 12. What do you think? Verse 7? Verse 7 sounds like a good place to start. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And you know what he said to me? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can we talk about Paul for a quick second? I know Paul is the last guy that really needs an introduction at church, but let's really quick remember who Paul was. Paul is a rock star in the Christian faith, right? Not only did he have a stellar resume as a Pharisee, but he gave it all up to be a servant of Christ. And the Lord used him tremendously. He should have died multiple times. Stonings, shipwrecks, snake bites, imprisonment. And yet the Lord saves him and uses him. The man went around and shared the gospel to all kinds of people, planted all kinds of churches, raised up all kinds of pastors. He even rose someone, at least one person, from the dead. And then on his free time, he just happened to write at least a third of the New Testament. But as a Christian, and being someone who dedicated his life to serving God, that brought him a huge target on his back. The enemy hated his guts. So Paul saw that this thorn came from the pit of hell. Paul said that a messenger of Satan was there to buffet him. The word messenger here is the same word as angel, agalos. Paul is saying that this thorn is demonic in nature. This angel of Satan, this demon, has come here to buffet me. The word buffet here literally means to beat someone up with your fists. This is how Paul felt. It means that this demon was using excessive force on him. This thorn in Paul's flesh felt like a demon was just taking shots at him over and over and over and over again. Imagine the pain that Paul must have been going through. I know you. I've prayed with many of you. I know that a lot of you can relate to this passage. And as we relate, as our thorn is sticking right now and we feel the pain, the question is, what do we do? And I would point to Paul and say, let's follow Paul as he follows Jesus. If you're a note taker, I've broken up this passage into 3 sections. And each section gives us another tool, another way to deal with our own thorn. The first section talks about Paul's perspective. If you notice here, Paul has not lost his perspective. Paul's got a real enemy. Yes, it's demonic. Yes, this demon is taking shots at Paul. And yes, Paul's in a lot of pain, but yet Paul knows that God is still in control. Amen? Paul knows that God is still in control. Paul knows that even though this demon is tormenting him, that God has even allowed it to happen. See, God could stop it at any time, right? Anytime God could snap his fingers and this demon is just cast away. But God doesn't stop it. So why on earth would God allow this to happen? Paul actually tells us twice in verse 7. He says that this has happened lest I should be exalted above measure. That's perspective. Paul knows that people are getting saved. Paul knows that he's been given this tremendous knowledge. Paul knows that people are looking up to him. Paul knows that Almighty God himself is using Paul like he was a screwdriver or a hammer or some other tool. And it's easy for someone in that position who is being used so mightily to start thinking of himself or herself as a little bit above and beyond everyone else. They think they're special. They think they're better. Look at my fruit. Look at all the things that God is doing in my life. Where's your fruit, bro? Paul sees this. He recognizes that in himself. And he knows that he's not above it. So he sees this thorn as an instrument of God. Yeah, it's from the devil, but you know what? God is using it. And that's really a common theme in Scripture, is it not? Ask Joseph. What the enemy meant for evil, God has used for good. The biggest example of that is the death of Jesus on the cross, right? That day, Satan must have been high-fiving the other demons, right? I got him. I won. He cheered that day. Jesus's big defeat turned into the biggest victory the world has ever seen. That was the day death was defeated. Paul gets this thorn. This thorn will keep me humble. This thorn will keep me needing Jesus. It will keep me praying. It will keep me desperate. It'll keep me hungry. And truthfully, what's better than that? What's better? Is it better to be comfortable and just sailing through life? Or hungry and desperate and seeking the Lord? When you and I deal with our thorn, it's not because God has abandoned us. It's not because Satan is winning and having his way with us. It's because you and I are valuable to God. It's because you and I have been given an abundance of knowledge and revelations concerning our Father. We know him intimately. And Satan is trying to use that thorn to separate us from him. Make us doubt him. Make us leave him. And God says, nuh-uh. Nope. I'm not going to allow it. He says, I'm going to allow the thorn to keep them, to keep my kids humble and needy and close to me. But again, like anything else, it's up to us, right? We have a choice. This thorn is like a fork in the road of our lives. Which way will we go? Will we continue to go in the way of the Lord and serve and be still and dependent on the Lord? or will we thrash and roar with anger and say it's not fair and complain and maul the people that are around us? Paul chose humility and dependence because he had the right perspective. He chose humility and dependence because he was able to trust God and see God's love in the middle of all the pain that this demon was inflicting on him. We need to have perspective like Paul. Take a minute and look past your pain and trust that God sees you. Trust that God is good. Trust that he will get you through it. Paul had perspective. That's one. Now, just because we have perspective, it doesn't mean life gets instantly better, right? In verse 8, he says that he prayed. Actually, it says that he pleaded with God. That's our second point, prayer. Paul pleaded with God. Look at verse 8 again. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Prayer is an incredible weapon. You can go and talk to your dad about anything. No matter how great it is or how small it is, he sees you, he hears you, he loves you. So go and talk to him about everything. And that's what Paul does. Paul's got this thorn. It's bothering him. And he goes to his dad. He prays. He begs. He pleads. And that's awesome. It's the right thing to do. And the implication here is that Paul didn't just pray one time, right? Lord, please remove it. It wasn't this one time single prayer. It was a series of prayers over an extended period of time. Lord, I'm in agony. Please help me. And maybe a month goes by. Lord, I'm still in a whole lot of pain. Right? This demon's using my body like a punching bag. He's having his way. Father, please step in. Please remove this thorn from me. And maybe a year goes by or 2 years go by and the pain is still there. Nothing has changed. Nothing has gotten better. In fact, maybe it's even gotten worse. And now Paul is crying out even louder, Lord, Father, please. Let me just say for a second, doesn't that feel weird to anybody? Or strange? You've got Paul, this wonderful, mighty, humble, dependent servant, right? This man of God. This is a man that has the ability to heal others. He has the ability to cast out demons. He has the ability to raise people from the dead. And yet he cannot remove this little itty-bitty thorn? Isn't that weird? He prays and prays and prays and still nothing. Can't he just rebuke the demon? It's weird in my head. It doesn't make any sense. We believe that when we ask for something, especially when we're suffering, that we should be able to have it. Especially someone like Paul. We read a scripture like James 4:3. You have not because you... And we scratch our heads. I asked, why didn't I get it? And we think all I have to do is have faith in God and he's going to give me exactly what I want. I'm going to get that healing. I'm going to get that big house. I'm going to get the Ferrari. I'm going to get everything I want. And that's where the whole name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, right? That's where all that nonsense comes from. There's pastors out there who are teaching that. All you have to do is name it and claim it, and in faith you will have it. And send me your money. And God will multiply your seed money 10 times, 100 times. I get mad when I see that. People fall for it. Why do people fall for it? Because it sounds great. It sounds really good. But what happens when you name it and claim it and don't get it? Well, brother, they say, it's your fault. Clearly, it's your fault. Your faith was this big. You don't have enough faith. That's a terrible excuse because you got a passage like this, right? What about Paul? What about his thorn? Are you saying Paul's faith was weak? Was there ever anyone who had more faith than Paul who could name it and claim it? We need to take verses like you have not and you ask not in context. James chapter 4 gives us a little bit more than you ask not because, or you have not because you ask not. James is telling us to submit ourselves to God. You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And then when you do ask, you still don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. People that embrace the whole name it and claim it stuff, that they're missing one really important factor. And that is God is Lord, not us. He decides what's best for us, not us. The name it and claim it people treat God like this mindless genie who only exists to give us what we want. But God is not like a genie. God is like our parent, right? And as kids, we submit, we ask, we pray, we beg, we plead. And he sees us and he hears us and he listens, but ultimately he decides what to give us and what not to give us based solely on the fact of whether it's good for us or not. Just because we want all the candy in the candy store doesn't mean our parents are going to give it to us. So by all means, we should pray, we should plead, we should ask. We should have faith. You can even beg if you want to. Good. But just be prepared that the answer might be no. That was really creepy. Sorry. No. Sometimes God says no. And that's what he said to Paul. Paul pleaded 3 times, and then he finally got an answer. I'm not going to do it, Paul. The answer is no. But notice he doesn't apologize, right? God doesn't apologize. He doesn't just say, oh, I'm sorry. I wish I could, but I just can't. It's just too much for me. What you're asking for is too great, right? He says, you're asking me to remove this thing from you, but instead of me removing it, I've got something else to give you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But Lord, don't you understand? There's this thorn. It's jabbing me. It's hurting me. It's irritating me. There's this blinding pain that I face every single day. And God says, I know, I understand, but I'm still not going to remove the thorn. But instead, I will give you more grace. Let's talk about grace. What's grace? How is it different than mercy? I think a lot of times we confuse the two. Here's how I explain mercy and grace to my kids. Say they did something wrong. Now, if you know my kids, you know that never happens. Never happens, right? I had to wait years and years and years before they did something wrong so I could explain mercy and grace to them. But finally, it happened, and I got to teach him. I sat him down, and I said, hey, what you did was wrong. What you did deserves a punishment. And they're like, yes, okay, we get it. We messed up. And I tell them, I'm going to give you mercy. I'm not going to give you the punishment that you deserve. And their eyes opened up, and they're all excited. This is the greatest day ever. The next time they did something wrong, like 15 years later, I sat them down again and I'm like, okay, you messed up. You deserve a punishment. And they're like, can we have mercy? And I said, yeah, I'm going to give you mercy. I'm not going to give you the punishment that you deserve, but I'm also going to give you grace. And I took them out for ice cream. I gave them what they didn't deserve, and I didn't give them what they did deserve. When we talk about God's grace, we're not just talking about receiving forgiveness and mercy. We're talking about this incredible gift that he gives us. We are getting something spectacular that we absolutely don't deserve. And I'm not even talking about salvation. I'm talking about the goodness and the presence of God in our lives. Every single day, God's with us. Every single day, his glory, his goodness follows us around, leads us. And it is this grace that empowers us to live the life of a Christian in very difficult circumstances. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we're going through it, when we are in need of help, we have grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, we see that we get strength for living. We see be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Grace is not just forgiveness. Grace is not just a pass to eternity, but grace is the presence and goodness of God in our lives. And because God is with us, and because he is so strong and mighty, his strength becomes our strength. See, when we have a thorn, God could either remove that thorn or he could give you more of himself to strengthen you and to keep you going. Son, daughter, I love you, but I'm not giving you, or I'm not taking away that thorn. Instead, I'm going to give you more of me. I'm not fixing the finances. I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to take out your husband like you've been asking me to over and over. No, I've been listening into Isabel's prayer, sorry. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to give you my strength. Not only will you be able to live, you will be able to thrive. Your thorn is your weakness, and your thorn absolutely is your weakness. But it's not his weakness. In fact, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you all the grace that you will ever need so that you can live your life and thrive with this thorn still stuck in you, still creating pain, still causing trouble. And you know what you're going to say? Wow. And everyone else will look at you and say, wow. She's not mauling us anymore. He's not yelling and screaming at us anymore. Was the thorn removed? Did they win the lottery? Did the Lord remove that illness? So how is it that they have this peace? How is it that that thorn is still there? And dare I say they even have joy? It's because of our proximity to Jesus. Anyone else dealing with those things, the difficult spouse or person dealing with that crazy disease, whatever that thorn is, in that situation will probably be on the floor in the fetal position. But not you. Why? Because God is with me. Because God strengthens me. Because his strength really shows off in my weakness. His strength really shows off in my weakness. See, at this point, Paul gets it. He had the right perspective. He came to the Lord and he poured out his heart in prayer. And then we get to point number three. The only thing left for Paul to do was praise. God said, no, I'm not going to heal you, but I'm going to give you a whole bunch of myself. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of strength. And my strength, coupled with your weakness, is going to be awesome and unstoppable. The greater our weakness, don't miss this, the greater our weakness, the greater the opportunity for God to show off. For any artists that are out there, whenever you buy a canvas, it doesn't already have a painting on it, right? It doesn't have like a mixture of colors in it. It's always spank white. It's on purpose, right? So whatever paint that gets put on it will really stand out against the white backdrop of the canvas. Our weaknesses is just like that white canvas. And any strength that God chooses to paint on our lives becomes so clear, so visible, so magnified against our weakness. And Paul sees it, and he loves it, and he's at the point where he just starts to praise. He starts to brag. He starts to boast. Look at verse 9. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in infirmities. He's not saying it like a question, I am. In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Do you see what's going on? He's boasting in his weaknesses. He's boasting that he has this blank white canvas with absolutely nothing on it, nothing to offer. Because as soon as God starts to touch his life with his paintbrush, it's beautiful, it's mighty, it's clear, it's obvious. Paul is boasting, but is Paul's problems solved? Well, sort of. It's definitely not solved the way Paul had wanted. It's definitely not solved the way Paul had prayed, right? He prayed that this thorn would be removed. But now, the prospect of getting God's strength to deal with that thorn and give him peace and joy made him, can I say giddy? He seems giddy to me. Why? Because he wants more of God in his life. And all of a sudden, he sees this thorn, he sees this pain, he sees this problem the way God sees it. It's just an avenue for Paul to draw closer to God. It's just an avenue for God to pour out his grace upon his son. So now Paul says, this thorn's kind of cool. I'm going to brag about my pain. I'm going to brag about my weaknesses. More pain means more of him. Now, we've gotten this far, and we haven't even talked about what the thorn in Paul's flesh was. We're not told. I kind of like that we're not told. It could be anything. Scholars believe it was something related to his eyes. Possibly, but we don't know for sure. But let's say it was something in his eyes. They believed that his eyes were failing him. His eyes were hurting him. He couldn't see very well. Can you imagine Paul just walking around bragging about how horrible his eyes are? Hey guys, look at my face, right? Look, my eyes are going in different directions. I can barely see. I'm constantly stubbing on my toe. I fall on my face all the time. Sometimes the pain is so bad, I'm crying all night. I can barely walk. People are laughing at me. but look at all the things that God is doing in my life and in the lives of other people through this weakness. Look how God is using little old broken me. Look how his strength is on me. He says, I boast in my infirmities. I boast in them. I love them. I take pleasure in them. This thorn that he begged the Lord over and over and over to remove, now it is a source of pleasure for him. I wonder if the Lord comes to him and says, hey, Paul, okay, I'm ready to take it out. I wonder what he would say. Really? Kind of like it now. It's pleasurable to me. I got something to boast in. It keeps me low. It keeps me weak. It keeps my canvas white. This thorn, Lord, is my doorway to approach you every single day. In my weakness, your power rests upon me. Lord, I didn't really see it before. I have these pains, I have these problems, but I'm getting used to it. I'm okay with it. If it brings me closer to you, then it's worth it. Paul had perspective. He poured out his heart in prayer, and he praised the Lord. What about us? Maybe you're sitting here and you're confused. You're scratching your head a little bit. Maybe you're even a little upset with me. You know, Shadi, I've done all those things. I have perspective. I see clearly that this is an attack. I know that we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I get it. I also get how this thorn, this terrible pain that I'm in, can either lead me into a closer relationship with God, or it can separate me from him. I've chosen to go closer to God. I've prayed. I prayed over and over. Paul is a lightweight. He only prayed 3 times. I pray 3 times a day for years and years and years and years. I prayed for years, and God has yet to remove this thorn from my flesh. I don't feel like I have a sufficient amount of grace. I don't feel like I've been given the strength of God to deal with this thorn. And truthfully, Shadi, there's nothing more annoying than hearing a sermon about how I need to pray more and how I need to trust God more. Because I've done it and nothing has changed. Why haven't I seen his grace? And I would say, holding my breath, hoping you don't punch me, because you haven't been praising. You haven't been boasting. You haven't been bragging. You haven't approached this the same way Paul has approached it. And I'm on that side of the fence with you guys. I have been like that lion, angry, roaring, complaining, mauling the beautiful people around me, all because I was in pain. As soon as we do that, as soon as we go down that path, we're not going down the path that we're supposed to be on. We're not walking towards God. We're walking away from him. When we're mad, we aren't trusting him. We're not believing that God has allowed this thorn for the good of our lives. We wouldn't be so angry if we believed that. But when we praise him, even for the thorn, even for the pain, that's when we show that we trust him. And it's not about having the thorn removed, right? We're not doing it to try to manipulate him into removing the thorn, but it's about praising him for the fact that he is close to you, that he is close to me, he is close to the brokenhearted, and he's strengthening us. That's worthy of praise. Brag about him. Say with Paul, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's the secret. These aren't just words that we say. To Paul, Christ was literally the anchor in his life. Christ is a refuge. Christ is the source of strength and joy and rest and peace. He's everything. So even when Paul is in the middle of blinding pain, he's never blind to God. A thorn will make our flesh weak, but we can't allow it to make our spirit weak. Amen? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for how you love us. That, Lord, you love us enough not to just say yes to everything that we want. But, Lord, you say yes to that which is good, that which is perfect, that which will bless us and help us to grow closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for the no's in our lives. And, Father, if there's anybody here, and I'm sure there's more than one, anyone dealing with a thorn, Lord, may your grace rest upon them today in a way they've never experienced before. Lord, may they take the opportunity of pain to seek you more and to draw closer to you. And Lord, may they say, like Job said at the end of his life, Lord, at the end of the end of his troubles, he says, now I see that my Redeemer lives. I've seen him with my own eyes. Lord, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. Lord, bless each one of them with more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.